welcome both everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online as we are continuing to just enjoy that the glory of that celebration we had last week, 65 years of ministry, changing lives and impacting our community. And I want us to continue to wrestle with using our missional imagination to continue to ask the question, what would Jesus do? And then the follow-up question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, we've been in this series, Stories That Transform as well. And you remember Jesus was a great storyteller. I mean, telling stories was one of his primary means of teaching. He was a master teacher, a great communicator. People flocked to hear him. And we've said that Jesus, if you're following in your outline, he told stories to make a point. He told stories with a purpose. And so in his story of the lost sheep, we learn that God cares for lost sheep and we should too. God cares for lost sheep and we should too. And in the story contrasting, remember the prayers of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we see that God desires in our relationship with him humility, not self-righteous pride. And in the story about the king and his unmerciful servant, we see that, you know, Jesus wants to understand, as God has forgiven us a great debt of sin, he wants us to forgive others as they sin against us. And last week in his story about the Good Samaritan, Jesus wants us to understand that in answer to the question, who is my neighbor? Our neighbor is simply the person in need. And when we find a person in need, we're to respond to them with love and compassion. Jesus told stories to make a point. We've also seen that, context matters, that it's helpful to understand the context surrounding the stories that Jesus told. His stories were told against the backdrop of what was going on around him. In any Bible study, it's important to do that, to understand the context. In fact, Jim Stillwell is starting a new Discipleship Road study, going to be 3 weeks, starting next Sunday morning, 9:30. It's titled Reading and Studying the Bible. And if you've thought, man, I'd love to just kind of get a little bit of a primer about that, that's going to happen next Sunday, 3 weeks. Jim's leading it. 9:30. So what was the context for the story surrounding that Jesus told today? Well, at this time, we see that Jesus was in the final week of his earthly life. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus has come into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey, and anticipation was high. Everybody was thinking, he is going to reveal himself as God's Messiah, as God's anointed one. The one who has come to save us from our oppression, from these Romans. Well, he had come to save them from their oppression, but it was a different kind of saving. It was a very intentional time in Jesus' ministry. It was a strong teaching and a strong preparing time. And so he told several stories throughout that last week. He told a story about two sons. And then he told a story about a wedding banquet in Matthew's gospel. And then at one point, his disciples came and they asked him about the end times. And so we read in Matthew 24:3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, one of the tenets of the Christian faith is that Jesus will one day return. That one day he is going to come again to fully establish his kingdom on the earth, a kingdom of justice and righteousness and peace. And you know, at that time, our world is going to be rid of all of the game playing, all of the lies, all of the half-truths, and everything else that we experience as a part of everyday life. That is going to be over, and we can look forward. But he also spoke of great turmoil and distress leading up to that time. It's a lot to read about there in Matthew 24. I would encourage you later today, that's your homework, read Matthew 24. And Jesus said, finally in Matthew 24, 36, no one knows about that day or that hour, not even the angels in heaven, but only the Father. Therefore, Jesus says, keep what? Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And so against this great backdrop, Jesus tells his last three parables in Matthew's gospel. And what was the overarching theme of these stories? Jesus, his last three stories in Matthew dealt with this theme, being ready. Being ready. I'm coming again. It's going to be, there are going to be distress and turmoil and signs to look for. So those of you who are following me, be ready. And then Jesus told three stories. One of them was the story of the 10 bridesmaids, and then the story of the talents, which we're going to look at today, and then the story of the sheep and the goats. And if you know the story of the 10 bridesmaids, remember, five were ready and five were not. Jesus is saying, be ready. And then the sheep and the goats. Next week, we're going to talk about the sheep and the goats. That's our focus next week. Today, in this context of being ready, I want us to consider Jesus' story of the talents. So in this story that Jesus told, three of the servants were given a portion of their master's money. They were given a portion. In fact, it was quite a lot of money. When you look at it, Matthew 25, 15 reads, to one he gave five talents of money, to another two talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, a talent was the largest measurement of money in that day. And a talent was equal to an equivalent of 6,000 days of wages. That's about, say, maybe 15 years. A conservative estimate of a talent in today's world would be maybe $250,000. So you do the math. One servant got five talents, another two talents, and one. $1.25 million, a half million, and $250,000. That is a lot of money. Each according to their ability. He gave them this money and then he went on a journey. Here's a question. What would you have done? Master says, I got $500,000. Here you go. And then he went on a journey. What would you have done? How would you have responded to that kind of an amazing gift of generosity? Well, that's what, you know, what each of these servants faced. I remember when I was a kid, I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if one day I'll get a message from a long lost Uncle Pete, who I never knew, but he knew me and he had all this money he wanted to give to me. Well, that was a pipe dream, but you know, I thought of those things. Well, as we look at the story, two of the servants responded with what looks to be, to me, like strong faith. Strong faith, trust, and love. And, you know, here's one way to think about it. These two servants, as I think about it, had, it seems to me, a good relationship with their master. They'd gotten to know him over time. There was this strong faith, this strong love and relationship with their master, so that when he entrusts them with some of his money, they respond out of that strong relationship. Hey, the master trusts me. He has faith in me. The master loves me even this much. He's given me some of his money. What shall I do? How shall I respond? I know. I'm going to take this money And I'm going to go out and I'm going to try and earn more money with it for my master to express, hey, my continued gratitude and love for all that he's done. The strength of the relationship, as I see the first two servants, gave them the motivation to go out and to try and launch out. And so that's what the two of them do. And we read in Matthew 25:20, after the master had returned, the man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. Same thing with the servant who had received the 2 talents, doubled it. The master was pleased. Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little thing. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. But in the story, and you know, that could have been a great ending to the story. Man, that is just great. But Jesus went on. In the story that he told, there was another servant who responded in a different way. This servant responded, it seems to me, with fear and uncertainty and insecurity. As I look at it, I don't think this servant had the same kind of relationship with his master. At least that's what I hear in his response. Matthew 25:24. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was what? I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And we know the story. His master was not happy at all. Instead, he rebuked him and he called him wicked and lazy. He took what had been given to him, gave it to the other servant, and he had him thrown out into the street. So there's 3 servants, all of them given large sums of money. 2 of them were praised for their responses. 1 of them was not. So what is Jesus wanting us to understand? What is he wanting us to understand against this backdrop of, you know, be ready? What are some of the implications or applications of this story for our lives? I think of a few things. First of all, I would say this. If we have a growing faith and love and trust with God, and I pray we all do. I pray that all of us are taking steps to grow in our relationship with God, to be investing in it, to be spending time with God, to be doing life. And you know, when we're doing that, when we're saying, Lord, hey, I'm coming to you because this is going on in my world and I need your help, or I'm praying for my friend because they are going through this circumstance, or, you know, this problem at work or in my family is just a burden. Lord, I'm coming to you. When we're doing life with God, I think that's how God lets us know who he is, how he over time shows himself in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our prayers. And we begin to learn that he is faithful. He is someone that I trust. My love is growing for him. I believe that when that is happening, we are also then more likely to risk it when the time comes to step out in new levels of faith and trust and love. Again, I think the first 2 servants had developed a strong, growing love and respect and faith for their master that gave them then the freedom to risk it, to try some things, to go out into the marketplace and see what they could do on behalf of their master that would be pleasing to him. I imagine both of them thinking, Lord, what can I do to express my love and gratitude? You've been good to me as a master. Now you've given me this gift of money. What can I do to multiply this gift and continue to honor you? And that's how I pray we are all thinking about the gifts and the the grace and talents that God has given us. What can I do, Lord, to continue to express my love and my gratitude for your goodness? That is part of what it means to steward all of the gifts that God has given us. But what if we are afraid of God? What if we are afraid of God because of little relationship? For some, the reason the third servant, for some reason, the third servant was afraid of his master. He had a harsh view of him. I wonder if it was because maybe he didn't have much of a relationship with him. Have you ever had, you know, this negative perspective about somebody? Yeah, that person, I don't know about them. And you have this image, and then you actually have an opportunity to sit down with them. And you sit down with them, and you talk to them, and you realize, you know what? That opinion, that idea had no basis at all. This person is completely different than the way that I thought. Well, that happens all the time. Maybe that was happening with him. There was too little relationship. Or sometimes we have a misguided view of God because of faulty understanding. Perhaps the servant had a misguided view of his master. That can sure happen. I know many people are afraid of God, or they tell me, I'm angry with God. And I listen to their story, and I recognize that, you know, their perspective about God is different than what I have come to understand and know. And, you know, throughout my ministry, I've always wanted to try to declare the truth about God's love and his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace. But the enemy does everything possible to hide that truth, to cover it up, to keep us in the dark. So when that happens, we live often in fear, uncertainty, insecurity. We can't see God's overflowing generosity towards us. We don't know about his love, his mercy, his grace. Instead, we respond to God with fear. God, I can't step out here and do this thing. Or uncertainty. God, you know, I'm nervous here because all kinds of things could go wrong. Or insecurity. God, I probably can't do it anyhow. And all of those perspectives, that is a crying shame. If we've had that perspective or still have it or know somebody who does, because that's not who God or what God wants us to experience at all. God wants us to launch out in bold faith and in trust with him. He wants us to step out with him and in trust and love and see what he's got planned for us. But how many of us, you know, listen to the wrong thing? We develop patterns of stinking thinking. How many of us have ever, you know, reflected a thought pattern that went something like this? Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to sit on my talent and bury it. That's what I think the third servant did. How many of us responded to God in the same way? Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to do nothing. I'm not good enough. Or, you know, I've made too many mistakes. Or I'm not talented enough, or I don't have the personality, or I don't have enough faith, or I can't do, Lord, what you're calling me to do. Have you been there? At different times in my life, I have been there. I think it's a battle that all of us face. At different times and in different ways. But Jesus wants to help us overcome that. And so against this backdrop of hey, get ready, be ready. In his story for today, I would say Jesus' main point is this. Step out in faith and use your talents for God. Step out in faith. God wants us to take our small faith, our small trust, our small love, and he wants it to grow bigger and stronger and deeper. And how does he do it? Jesus says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Take my yoke upon me, upon yourself, and learn from me. My yoke, it is easy. My burden, it is light. He says, come and walk with me. Come and talk with me. Get to know me. Let's be friends. And as our relationship with God gets stronger, we then find ourselves saying, Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow. And that becomes our wholehearted, well-rounded, faith-filled response to God. Lord, I want to boldly honor you in worship. I want to keep growing and persisting in my prayer, in my study. Lord, I want to be faithful and passionate in serving. Man, we were faithful and passionate last night unloading the pumpkins. Man, you talk about faithful and passionate and sweating and man, I'm sore, but it was a good thing. And we're going to take pumpkins and try and point people to Christ, point people to our church. Amen. If you can help to sign up to sell them, do that later today and throughout these next few weeks. Lord, I want to be generous and purposeful in my giving, in my giving. We're going to have a time in a couple of weeks when we're going to be asked to bring a card that indicates what we've been praying about, what we're thinking about in terms of the new year. So in the middle of a world that is regularly forcing us to respond to God's call with either faith or fear, I want you to hear this. Let's continue to step out with God in great faith, trust, and love. That is the best way to use our talents and our gifts for God and for His glory. Amen? And with that will be the best way for you and I one day to hear the good news. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and enjoy your master's happiness. I want to be on that team. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank you for Jesus and the stories that he told. We see that as he was nearing the end of his earthly life, he taught his followers to be ready, to prepare their lives for coming days. And here we are some 2,000 years later, continuing to be transformed by his life, his death, his resurrection, the very foundation of our faith. And because of who Jesus is and what he has done, we have great hope and confidence about the future. And we know that even now, you, God, are with us by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. Thank you, Lord. And in the story that Jesus told for today, two of the servants responded with strong faith, and one did not. Help us to recognize our need for growing faith, growing trust, growing love with you, Lord. And as we get to know you more intimately, that happens. Our faith, our trust, our love strengthens. Lord, help us to throw off our fears. Amen? And Lord, give us courage to step out in faith, in trust, and in love with you as we steward all the talents that you have trusted to us. Our time, our abilities, our relationships, our resources. Lord, help us to be ready and to keep growing so that one day too we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and enjoy your master's happiness. It's in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen.